Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Migration and Diaspora Podcast, where we discuss topics, projects, ideas, and everything in between related to migration and diaspora engagement with me, your host, Loxanne Harley. Today, we've got a podcast about, well, podcasting. And that's because we've got Ana Lucia Gutierrez Gonzalez on the show to share her wonderful story connecting with fellow Peruvian diaspora women through the Granadilla podcast that she hosts. And let me tell you a bit about Ana. She interviews Peruvian women around the world and shares their stories as a form of inspiration and motivation for future female migrants while creating a space to empower them. She is currently pursuing a PhD in migration, focusing on Peruvian migrant women while running operations for a startup in Israel. She's married and has a dog. Ana loves traveling, good food, and long naps. And you can probably tell that these introductions are the bios that guests share with me. And I love that having a dog and enjoying naps feature in Ana's. In our podcast about a podcast, we talk about Ana's experience both being a Peruvian diaspora woman herself and building a podcast in the midst of a pandemic to connect with other Peruanas por el mundo. And Ana shares how she's now ended up turning that podcast into an organization that not only tells diaspora stories, but that also now connects, supports, trains, and empowers Peruvian women. I really enjoyed having Ana on the show, and I thoroughly recommend checking out the Granadilla podcast, whether you're a Peruvian or Latina migrant, or if you're simply interested in hearing some wonderful stories of identity, travel, and human connection. And listen out for the curious story behind the name of Ana's podcast. Last but not least, thank you so much for tuning in. And if you want to catch more episodes like this, check out our whole back catalogue at homelandsadvisory.com/podcast. And you can also find the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Anyway, without further ado, please sit back and enjoy the show. Okay, good afternoon, good evening, Ana. Welcome to the Migration Diaspora Podcast. How are you and where are you joining us from?
Hi, Loxanne. Thank you very much for this opportunity. I'm very excited to be here. I'm actually joining all the way from Jerusalem in Israel. Yeah, very happy to be here today.
Fantastic to have you, especially given the challenging circumstances right now, which we'll come back to. But tell us, first of all, what's your own migration and diaspora story?
Yeah, I actually like that question. I always like to divide it like in two parts. My first part is when I was like, academically speaking, it's called like a temporary migrant. I moved to Israel in 2017 to do a master in Tel Aviv University. And honestly, back then, being a migrant and the migration journey and all of those things didn't really matter to me. I didn't even know it existed. I was doing a master in public policies. We spoke about migrants, but in my head, it was like, I moved to Israel to study and I'm moving back to Peru and that's it. There is nothing interesting behind it besides my studies. And then I came back in October 2020 to live with my husband. We are based on this family reunification visa or process. And I've been involved in the migrant world since April 2020 with a podcast about Peruvian women that migrate. It's interesting, like these two parts of my life now as a migrant, like with a residency a paper with the visa process and everything. I look back and it's like, oh, I was a temporary migrant before, but I didn't really know. And I was part of like this group called the expats, the foreigners. I was an international student, all of these terms, but never saw myself as a migrant. Someone asked me, I'm like, yeah, I have like two phases in my migration journey. And this phase is like the most, like, I think important and relevant to who I am right now. Being connected with other Peruvians and with other Latinas as well, going through this process, which is something I never thought I would be part of.
And why Israel? Because presumably for most Peruvians, or as your podcast shows, there are Peruvians around the world, but also there are much more popular destinations for most Peruvians than Israel. So why Israel?
So that's a very good question, actually. So I was raised in a Christian family. My parents are Christians. I grew up as a Christian. And, you know, Christians read the Bible. We see Israel as the Holy Land where Jesus was born, the Messiah, and all these things. So I came with my family like twice or three times, I think, as part of like the tourist group with the church. You know, you go to like the old city, you go to a museum, very like Christian, churchy kind of tour. But I fell in love with the country. I was fascinated by the people, the culture, the war, the conflict, everything that would surround Israel. I went back to Peru. And I always wanted like to study abroad. So there were things like there, you know, like, oh, maybe I'll go to Israel for like 2 months as a backpacker, you know, just travel around. Israel is super small, so actually you can do it. And then I reached a decision point in my life, in my professional life, that I wanted to start studying abroad. I was like, I might as well go to Israel, do my master there, live there, and kill two birds on one shot. So that's how I ended up the first time. That was like my goal, come to study and come back to Peru. But I met my husband, who is Israeli, Jewish Israeli. We like, I always make this joke that Tel Aviv University gives you a degree and a husband for the same price, because that's how I met him. I was studying and I came just to study to get my degree and be back. And then I came home and I was like, hey, mom, dad, I met someone. This is very serious. We're doing a long distance relationship for now. And 2 years later, during the pandemic, we decided to get married. We're a pandemic marriage. That's how early we decided to establish our life and our marriage here in Israel, because back then it was easier for me to move language-wise, professionally-wise. I already had my MA. He was still finishing his. And from a Jewish perspective, anti-Semitism and everything, it was something I really didn't want to deal with, neither of us. So I was like, okay, the safest place, the easiest way, let's do it in Israel. And that's how we, like, that's where we're standing right
What a fascinating story.
now.
And just a couple of very quick follow-up questions.
Yeah, sure.
So, as I'm sure you're aware, the word diaspora is quite a flexible, broadly defined term, which can mean, migrants and their descendants, right? Or any kind of identity that you may have to, or affinity with a particular country or region. Presumably, you identify as part of the Peruvian diaspora. Would you also identify as part of the Latina diaspora?
Yeah, for sure. Now, as a migrant, I always saw myself as Peruvian, but once you're abroad, you realize you're part of a bigger group. So you're like, yeah, I'm Latina. You know, I'm gonna save you the time to understand what Peru is. So like, I am Latina. Let's put me on that bag with because I'm part of that bag for sure.
And then the more, I suppose, controversial question would be, would you consider yourself part of the Spanish diaspora?
No, not at all. Not at all. Definitely 100% no.
Fair
For sure.
enough. I won't delve into it, but I asked that question because it does sort of illustrate as well how it is all about identity, right? The term diaspora really evokes that notion of identity, of affinity, right? Because presumably you may have some Spanish descendants, or at least
Oh,
you've got very
I do.
like
I
Spanish
definitely know
name.
that I do, but I think there has to be some sort of like bond and relation, and there's nothing. I've never been in
Is that
Spain.
fair?
Let's start with that.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, I always find it interesting because, in the US, Irish Americans are often very strongly identified as Irish, as being part of the Irish diaspora, whereas any descendant of the British, of the English, for instance, rarely, or not, I would say, quite rarely identify as part of the English or British diaspora. And I personally think part of it is the way that the Irish have been successful in their diaspora engagement and in creating that affinity. You might disagree with me on that, but putting it out there. Anyway, before we move on, I just also wanted to just acknowledge that you're in Israel. Israel is in conflict right now, and I very much hope that you're safe. And I do understand that you've personally been impacted by it in some ways. I just wanted to, without going too much into detail into the ins and outs of the conflict, also bearing in mind this is probably, people are probably listening to this in the new year, whereas we're recording this in November 23. But just give us a sense of how are you experiencing this moment as a Peruvian woman?
So I think I never thought I would live through a war. That's definitely got me by surprise, definitely. Israel has an ongoing conflict with Palestine. Like, there is a lot to say about it, and it would take us like a lot of episodes in the podcast to actually understand what's going on. I think the most important thing for me has been to understand that not one has like the final word. There's so much information out there. So many like influencers and important people saying whatever about what's going on without verifying the sources. So it's been very hard for me to read very important people saying nonsense or saying things without like a really good argument, and even within the migration community, because there are many migrants affected by this here, and also on the Palestinian side, many migrants who are really unprotected right now. And as a migrant, I also felt for a minute unprotected for a minute alone, and it's been an ongoing struggle. Also on my identity part, because I'm not Jewish, I'm not Israeli, but at the same time, I'm taking all the attack against Israel, against the Jewish community. So it's been it is an ongoing internal conflict of like, I'm not part of the community, but at the same time, I am part of this community because I live here. My husband is part of the community. So the war has brought up a lot of issues about identity, about people you have around. And there is no easy solution for this, but we need to learn to live through it. We need to learn to decide who we want to get information from and who we want to keep in our circle as well. People who are entitled to their opinions, as long as it's like a research opinion, you know, based on really reading through, understanding both sides, the culture, the years of conflict. It's not like what happened on October the 7th is happening before and it's happening now. And yeah, I think for many migrants right now, and I know many left the country the minute it happened because they were scared for their lives. Some of them are coming back. Some of them are like, I'm done with this. I don't want to be involved and related with Israel ever again in my life. It's hard as a migrant, but I only want the best for those innocents who are victims of this situation on both sides. Innocents are dying. They're being held hostages against their will. And what we need is to put a stop to this, to put a stop to terrorism, and to hope for the best for both sides, for the Palestinian people and for the Israeli people. That would be my comment on that.
Thank you very much for sharing that. So let's move on to the topic of the day.
Sure.
On the Migration and Diaspora podcast, we're talking about a podcast. We're podcasting about a podcast. It's get a bit meta, but we're talking about the Granadilla podcast, the podcast that you host. So in your own words, please just tell us a bit about that podcast.
Okay, so this is a funny story. My husband is definitely going to listen to this episode, so I need to give credit when credit is due. I moved to Israel in October 2020, and in March 2021, I got my first working visa. And everyone gave me this idea of like, oh my God, you're such a great professional. You have an MA, you have over 5 years of experience. You work with the government, with the private sector. You speak like Spanish, English, some Hebrew, some French. You're going to get a job like in 2 minutes. People are going to like fight to hire you. And I came on like this little cloud, you know, to Israel. I was working in Peru. I quit my job remotely because I wanted to focus on getting a job. And everyone was like, it's going to take like 2 minutes. Lies. It took me months to get a job. Because I'm like easily, like I get frustrated if you like pump me up and then nothing happens. I get frustrated. So I was very upset with everything. And my boss in Peru wanted to bring me back. He was like, if you come back, your job is yours again. Like it's here. So one day my husband comes back from work. And I was like in the living room crying with the dog being like, I want to go back to Peru. This is ridiculous. I left a great job, a great career in the public sector in Peru. I was doing good things for my country. I'm done and blah, blah, blah. And obviously my husband was like, I don't want you to leave. Like, what can I do? So he was like, hey, why don't you talk with other Latinas who have migrated? Obviously, you're not the first. Like you're not the first Latina who leaves Latin America for whatever reason. So I was like, okay, you know, Latinas, fine. But I want to know what Peruvians do. Like I'm Peruvian. I want to know how they manage their migration. And it hit me like a few minutes later. My best friend is married with a Japanese Peruvian guy. They moved to Japan, I think, in 2017. She has been through the migration process, the partner visa process, the permits, the documents, and this and the other. And even though we talk on a daily basis, we didn't realize it was the same thing. Like, we talk every day, we like whatever. And then it hit me. I was like, oh, okay, we're going through the same. Different countries, different situations, but the same thing. We're Peruvians in a different country. So I launched in April 2021. 3 episodes, I think. They were like the pilot. And just me talking with them, like one episode, different girls, one from, I think the first one was from the States, then my friend, then another, a cousin that I had in England, just talking about our migration, how it was, what took us, like, why did I migrate? How is our lives now? The paperwork, the obstacles and whatever. And I honestly thought, okay, my mom is going to listen to this, maybe my aunt, maybe their parents, and that's it. Nobody else is going to care about this thing because it's a therapy situation. And then I got people saying like, oh my God, I can't believe you have this episode. I've always wanted to know this. Or, oh my God, I feel just like her. I was like, okay, so people do like this. So maybe we should continue. And that's how like the little snowball started to grow and grow and grow. And this is where we're standing right now with 125 Peruvians around the world.
Amazing. Yeah. And when exactly did you move to Israel again?
October 2020.
Okay, well, you went there during the pandemic, basically, right?
Of
Okay.
course. Yeah. And we're a pandemic marriage.
I feel like you could have cut yourself some slack in terms of getting a job
Of
right
course,
away.
definitely. Definitely. The problem, like I'm telling you, everyone pumped me up, being like, oh my God, it's gonna be so fast for you to get a job. And I was like, yes, of course. And I had a great job in Peru. I was working remotely as a professor, and I gave up everything because, oh, it's gonna happen so fast. But it didn't. It took me a lot of time. And that's what I do with frustration. I just do a project to keep me entertained. That's what happened with Granadilla, basically.
Yeah, amazing. I feel the pandemic was kind of a frustrating time as well for everyone, but for migrants in particular. And I feel that just thinking about visa processes and things like that, I know that my wife, who's American, we applied for her spouse visa for the UK at the beginning of 2020. And then it ended up just being delayed and delayed. And we got it back finally around September 2020. And it turned out they'd essentially granted the visa right away. So there was a visa sticker in her passport for like a month later. But then because they just sat on the passport for 6, 7 months, they had to reissue another visa. And it also struck me how a lot of countries, a lot of governments just didn't really put the interests of migrants very high up the list because. Technically speaking, we kind of managed to work around this, but technically speaking, when you apply for a visa for the UK, you have to apply from your home country. So usually my wife would have applied from the US and then she would have had to have been waiting in the US
Oh, wow.
for all that time. Thankfully, she's got like two passports, so she managed to come in on her other passport. But for other people, that wouldn't have been possible. And
Yeah.
it seems like that was not at all a consideration. Anyway, you started your podcast. I suppose around the pandemic time then, and certainly as the Migration and Diaspora podcast, it was a great in to start podcasting. And so to give listeners a bit of context as well, so you've recorded, how many episodes did you say?
So we have 125 interviews, including myself. My husband interviewed me for an episode, so I can be within that 125. We have around 20 special episodes in Spanish. There are a lot of subjects that go across the board when you're a migrant, like imposter syndrome, the whole fact about how to get visas, how to build a diaspora. So we started doing some episodes that go across the board. Like we have a special episode with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Peru about basic questions like, you're abroad, how do I renew my Peruvian ID? What happens if my passport gets lost? What is the difference between an embassy and a consulate? Those are the silly questions that you have. We did an episode with them. We did an episode about how to get a working visa to Spain, or like different ways of migrating to Spain. We have like a few of those, and we have like five episodes in English. We also like about like how to get a job when you're a migrant. We recently did an episode about Peruvian migrant women, like what it means to be a Peruvian migrant woman in English as well. So those are like the episodes that we have so far.
And I will also just really encourage listeners both to listen to the podcast as a whole, but if you are not a Spanish speaker, definitely check out the special episodes. I mean, I really enjoyed the first
Good.
special, the kind of storytelling
Oh.
element. It's also to tell listeners it's much more interesting than my podcast. It's much there's some special effects. There's a
Yeah,
lot better
it's
story.
yeah.
Yeah, and I just really loved that first special where you
I'm happy
kind
to
of
hear that.
told the story of being a migrant. And you just used the English language so beautifully as well.
Thank
I
you.
yeah, just wanted to get that in. But so yeah, tell us why the name Granadilla,
Oh, so
and
this
also
is
you tell us about the slogan as well.
Oh yeah, so okay, so when I started like I had the idea of like, hey, I'm gonna talk to these Peruvian women, I'm gonna do a podcast, because obviously everyone was doing a podcast during the pandemic, and it was for me like also the easiest way. I used to write in a blog, I didn't want to do writing, I definitely didn't want to do video because it's a lot of work of editing. So I was like, a podcast is perfect, give you some sort of like anonymity so you can actually talk freely. So I was like looking for a name, and I had like very cheesy names of like, I wanted to do 200 Peruvians, 200 stories, because we just reached 200 years of independence in Peru. Then like one based on a name, a song in Spanish called Peruanita Bonita, which is like pretty Peruvian girl. So I had like very cliché, cheesy names. And then a friend who was like, hey, I'm gonna help you do your logo. I was like, okay, but I cannot have a logo if I don't have a name, right? So we're like thinking about the name, and he's like, it has to be something that is like you, like identifies as you. Like, okay, so like thinking, and he kept saying like a fruit, you know, like papaya or mango. I was like, what's like? I was like, you're silly, you know, I don't want to be like a fruit. And then it hit me. I love granadilla. It's like a passion fruit. It's from Colombia, Peru, and a few other countries in South America, like native from there. And granadilla is a very, it's considered like a high quality fruit that is very hard to find abroad. It's very like hard to export. It's very expensive. Like in Singapore, you get two granadillas for $5. It's ridiculous. In France, like a kilo for 14 euros, super expensive. So I like granadilla, and I was like, so hard to export and to find abroad, just like Peruvians were like a high quality nationality, citizenship, whatever you want to call it. And so I was like, granadilla podcast. And it was like, oh my God, we love it. I was like, okay, so it's sticking. And it became like a thing, like, oh, do you like granadilla? Okay, you can be in the in the podcast or something like that. So it just stuck, and it got the very good reviews, very like, people liked it. And then the slogan in Spanish is Peruanas rompiéndola en el extranjero, which means basically Peruvian women thriving in the world. So in English, it doesn't have like that double meaning, but in Spanish, romperla, it means breaking down something or breaking something, but it also means like in the slang way, it means like you're succeeding, you're thriving in something. So at the beginning, it was like I didn't want to put like successful women because success has a heavy thing behind it, like, oh, I'm successful because I'm making thousands of dollars and I'm like the CEO of something. It's very related to money, to power. But I wanted it to be for like, hey, you're taking down stereotypes, discrimination, racism, bureaucracy, so many language barriers, cultural barriers. So we did that part at the beginning of like rompiéndola, like thriving through everything, but also like succeeding. So it was like a double thing in Spanish. And just like mid, like I think last year, we finally got like the slogan in English because I didn't know how to say it. It was like Peruvian succeeding didn't sound good. And someone said, oh, but you're thriving. I was like, oh, I like that word. I don't use it much in English. So I was like, I like it. I'll keep it. And that's how we chose Peruvian migrant women thriving in the world.
Yeah, I would say though that I think it sounds better in Spanish. I feel
For
like
sure.
similar to like in English, you'd say to tear, like if someone's really good at dancing, that you'd say like they're tearing up the dance floor. You could say
Yeah,
like,
something like that.
yeah,
Yeah, exactly.
they're
Yeah, so they're
tearing it
tearing
up.
up. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it also has that sense of disrupting in a good way,
Yeah.
obviously. Very, very interesting. Anna, you've done so many episodes now, more than 100. And what are the big learnings that you can take about the Peruvian diaspora women's experience, if there are things you can generalize?
Yeah, for sure. I think the first part is being resilient. Or the stories of these Peruvian women go from I met my husband while bike backpacking in South America. We got married and we moved there through like I was running away from Peru because the terrorism was attacking my house and I needed a safe place to actually live. People who migrated for a better opportunity for their kids, for their families, for studies, and they decided to stay. There's like a range of reasons why they left and why they stayed abroad, which is also important. And the way they have like overcome their situation in countries that don't even speak a word of Spanish, that is like, I don't know, like Iceland. Like, who goes to Iceland? Like, you're like, why would you go to Russia in the middle of the war? We have a Peruvian who moved to Russia in the middle of the war. And I was like, why would you? And like, she's thriving and she's doing amazing things there and she's growing and it's beautiful. So you realize how the resilience is part of their identity.
No offense intended to our Icelandic and Russian
Yeah, of
listeners.
course, of course. Not at all. Not at all. I love you all. But it's really like you said it before, like who moves to Israel? Let's start with that. And who moves to Israel? Like never in 100 years I would be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna move to Israel, live there, establish my life there. Never. Like, if anything, I'll be like, hey, maybe England, France, or Spain that are like more friendly or have a bigger Peruvian community. But definitely Israel was not on the list. Creativity as well. Like Peruvians are and goes along with being reinventing themselves. Many of them left Peru being, I don't know, managers of human resources. Maybe they continue on that path in their new country, but they also decided to do something new. They opened a new business completely different to what they did in Peru. They changed their path because they realized, okay, in order for me to thrive in this country, I don't know, being a dentist is not going to cut it. I need to be, I don't know, a chef, and I'm going to open a restaurant. Right? Or I'm gonna focus myself on being a social media advisor. And now I have a whole company, a consulting company on that. So I think they also reinvented themselves, but they also keep their roots like themselves. It's something very interesting that, first of all, every Peruvian in the podcast when you ask them, what do you miss the most? Is the food, not even the family, not even like the history of the country. They're like, the food. I was like, okay, then. So who cares about your parents? Let's focus on the food now. So it's very interesting how they keep close to their roots, despite some of them, again, like me in Israel, in countries that maybe the Peruvian community is not that big. There's like the closest restaurant to you is like 4 hours driving. So you're not really going to go every week. So you decide to, hey, I'm bringing Peru to my house. You know, many that have like a corner of Peru in their houses without decorations, with things that they travel to Peru exclusively to bring ingredients. You know, half of their luggage is ingredients to cook Peruvian food to their non-Peruvian friends. And Peruvian people, non-Peruvians that have never even had like ceviche, which is a very common dish, they're like, oh my God, I didn't know you had like such many different plates. So I think it's very beautiful to see them, despite living in a country that's force them, make them learn two different languages, you know, English for the common language, and I don't know, like Portuguese or whatever language they are, whatever country they're in, they keep very close to their roots. They try to travel often to Peru. If they have kids, some of them are already, you know, in the second generation, they try somehow to keep those kids close to their Peruvian roots. And I think it's very, very beautiful as well.
You've got so many episodes, so I just wanted to ask whether you could flag any particular episodes that you felt were particularly memorable, that you particularly enjoyed recording, so that listeners of this can just have a sense of which episodes to go to.
Yeah, so that's going to be like I favoriting some of the episodes. I love all of them equally, but I think one very interesting story is the one with Australia, with Juliana. I don't remember the number, but she was about to be deported in Australia. And in a series of events, now she has like, she's on her way to get citizenship. So that's very funny because like when she fills out her form to be part of the episode, she's like, oh yeah, I was about to be deported. I was like, oh Lord. And then she's like, oh, but it's all good. Now I have citizenship and my kid is going to be Australian. I'm like, okay, that's like, has like a lot of like the story about like academic life and everything is very interesting. There's one with Nadia Calmet in the States. We talk about racism. I think she spoke very beautifully about it. She works in art and culture, and through dancing, she teaches people about racism, which is beautiful. Wow, we have so many good episodes. Another one that is very good is with Catherine Tinoco. She's in England. She opened Art Peru UK, which is also dancing. She talks about maternity and about dancing, which is how she literally created, and we're talking about it before, she created all this dancing group to make sure her kid will grow up in a Peruvian environment. She's married with an English man, and obviously, you know, the English culture, you grow up there and everything. She was worried her kid was not going to be able to actually understand the Peruvian culture. So she's like, okay, I'll do it myself. So she opened a dancing studio, and now she's working with a university, doing internships and everything for the people in the university to do it in her school, dancing school. And it's amazing how she created all of this to make sure her daughter will grow up in a Peruvian environment, no matter what. I want to recommend everyone from the one to the 125.
Yeah, exactly. I will link to the three that you've mentioned in the show notes, just so listeners can get started. And then I'm sure that will be the gateway to listening to the 100 and so remaining episodes. Mm-hmm. But tell me a bit more about the impact of your podcast. And I also ask this because there are other diaspora-focused podcasts out there. So I just wanted to make the linkages between the impacts that your podcast has experienced and the broader role that diaspora media or diaspora podcasting can have.
Yeah, for sure. I think the first time I realized I was having some sort of impact in the Peruvian diaspora community abroad, it was, I think, July, maybe, or by the end of 2021, that the IOM does a report in South America about different like diaspora communities and whatever, and they named Granadilla Podcast as a cultural valuable space for building a diaspora. And I didn't even know, like a friend was in the presentation of this report and he sends me a screenshot and he's like, dude, you're here on like the report. I was like, oh what? I was like in a gas station with my husband buying something. I was like jumping like a crazy girl. And my husband was like, what's going on? And I was like, they care about my podcast. Like this huge organization cares about what I'm doing, which is ridiculous because like I'm no one, just doing this for the fun of it. It hit me there that there were people out there actually listening to it and connecting through the podcast with other people. And, you know, like then every time get messages about like, hey, I heard this episode and helped me understand or feel better about my own migration process. My name is whatever and I live in whatever country. And thank you for this episode. I was like, okay, my job here is done. Like, you heard this episode, you're in the middle of nowhere in this country, and you feel that you no longer feel alone or misunderstood because you know there's another Peruvian somewhere else that feels like you. So like, I'm happy. Like, that's it. I can close the podcast today. And I think that I did a great job. Or the other hand, you know, also people who are like scared of migrating, they were offered an opportunity to work or study abroad and they're freaking out because they're never left the country. They messaged me like, I don't know what to do. I was like, hey, why don't you listen to this podcast of this Peruvian in this country that you're moving to and let me know. And they're like, okay, they listen to it. It's like, oh my God, can I reach out to her? I said, sure, I'll give you her contact. You know, I previously first asked, they're like, yeah, give my contact. And these connections, I think, are building this little community of Peruvian women abroad. We have a WhatsApp group with some of them that participate in the podcast, are part of the group. And it's like, I think last year, the Peruvians in London had like a meeting. They went to have coffee and tea and whatever. And they don't know each other. They never know each other before. And through the podcast, they were like, oh, I'm in London. Oh, you're also in London. So let's meet for coffee. Or they like travel, you know, in Europe, it's very easy to travel within Europe. So they meet like, oh, I'm in France. Let's meet for coffee. I'm going for work or whatever. Even like silly questions, you know, like, hey guys, I'm in Atlanta. I need to renew my ID, but I don't know how to do it in Peru. And boom, everyone starts like, hey, last time I was in Peru, I did it in this branch. And they do it very fast because you're abroad and blah, blah, blah. So this exchange of support, of ideas, of like, how can I help you with my experience, is building this beautiful Peruvian community that I just love. Every time I see them helping each other, it's like, I did a good thing today. Like, it cheers me up, definitely.
That's incredible. And have you had any interactions with the Peruvian government official or embassy officials?
Yes, we have. In 2021, we recorded a special episode in Spanish with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs about like frequent questions many migrants ask themselves: how to renew my ID when I'm abroad? What if I lose my passport? How do I register my baby that was born abroad? It was like 25 questions, I think. Unfortunately, that was like our biggest and only collaboration with them. I was in Peru in May. I met with them in person. They were like, oh my God, we're going to give you all the support you need. We love what you're doing. It's November. We're still waiting for that support. So yeah, I mean, I think the Peruvian government has different priorities right now, especially the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Unfortunately, is that they are not there to give the support. It's a common thing. I've spoken 125, you know, Peruvians. And from them, like, I don't know, five of them are like, oh yeah, my embassy is nice. Like here, they give us the support. But five out of 125 says something, right? From different countries. Unfortunately, it's not a priority for the Peruvian government what's happening with the Peruvians abroad. We hope it will change in the future. They know we exist. They know we're here. They literally know about us and what we do. And, you know, maybe in the future, they will want to work with us.
Well, hopefully they're listening to this podcast and will be
hopefully encouraged. I'm going to send them the podcast. I'm going to send them and be like, hey, this is my public complaint in English. That's how important it is.
There you go. I mean, and if the British Foreign Office is listening, I'll also encourage them to take more interest in diaspora affairs as well.
Good.
So behind you and your background that listeners won't be able to see, you've got Asociación Granadilla written there. So that implies that it's outgrown just being a podcast and it's now something bigger. It seems like you're leveraging it to have a broader impact. So tell us a bit more about these other initiatives that podcasting has led to.
Yeah. So in 2022, last year, I was doing some collaborations with the IOM, like just organizing, we organized like three events, I think. During one of those, they told me, hey, there's like a funding that you could apply in the IOM Peru. If you're interested and they choose you, they might give you like a grant. And I was like, okay, what is that? I was like, okay, we're going to put you in contact. So I spoke with the person and she's like, look, you have to prepare like a proposal of what would you like? This is the budget. And I did that. I was like, cool, perfect. But I'm a podcast. Like I'm only a podcast. Like I'm a person with a podcast and that's it. So we presented, we won the funding. I was like, oh my God. And then they were like, oh, but we cannot give you the money because you're a podcast. And I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, because you don't exist per se. You know, you don't have like a register number. You don't have bank accounts. You're a person with a podcast. I was like, yeah. And you guys knew that from the beginning. Like I'm a person with a podcast. I'm nothing more than that. Just me. So actually part of the funding was used to create Asociación Granadilla, which is basically a nonprofit that supports and empowers Peruvian women abroad. So through the Asociación, we were able to give a few, to do a few initiatives in favor of the Peruvian community, the Peruvian women community abroad. We held around 5 safe spaces for mental health support, which is something that many migrants, it's not that they don't want to, they don't have the resources or the funding to actually give importance to mental health. So we figured out there was a way to help them. We created like Zoom spaces for them to talk with a specialist about how to process so many feelings you have as a migrant, the pressure, loneliness, being isolated. So we had like 2 this year, 3 last year. We also got funding for a workshop in social media. Like we said before, migrants tend to reinvent themselves when they're abroad, and many of them open businesses, projects, initiatives. So we did this workshop on social media, how they can use it to promote whatever they're doing, whatever they're working on. And we also got the funding to create a website, and we got to transcribe 125 of our interviews, which means we're in an inclusive space as well. We want everyone and anyone to have access to whatever has been shared in the interviews by listening, by reading. Like, we wanted everyone to have like this option. So yeah, this is like, it became like the little daughter of Granadilla podcast. It's like a little child there that is still growing. It's still like, it takes time to launch an association per se, but it's there. It's there, and now we exist. So we're able to actually sometimes apply for help. Being like, hey, we exist, we have a number, we're here.
And what is in the pipeline for 2024 for the podcast and the association? Are you going to continue doing episodes about different Peruvian women around the world? Is it going to follow the same format, your kind of interview style with a Peruvian from a different country? Any new projects coming up? Tell us a bit more about your plans.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not going to lie, it's very tiring to keep the podcast alive. Yeah. I do have I have someone helping me a few hours a week, because this is not my job. I actually work. I have a full-time job outside of this. But yeah, like right now, like we're in kind of like vacation mode, because I need like to breathe and also think what I want to do next year. Honestly, my long-term goal is to find one Peruvian per country. That's what I want. I really want to be like, hey, there are Peruvians everywhere. And it's like the hardest part, the hardest region for me has been the African continent. We only have like 3 Peruvians there. So it's like, I keep digging and looking and asking. And I was like, yeah, I think I know someone. So if anyone listening to this podcast knows a Peruvian migrant woman in the African continent, please let me know. Like, I'm desperate. I've never been this desperate to find Peruvian women in Africa.
I travel a lot around the continent of Africa, and I'm always, yeah, it has surprised me. I've thought in the past, oh, there's so few Latin Americans around. Yeah. Surprises me.
But yeah, we're not that many, so we need them. So if someone hears this and knows a Peruvian woman, send them my way, please. So in 2024, I definitely want to focus a bit more on the association. I want it to grow a bit more, to maybe get a new funding to keep doing these spaces like mental health workshops, even crossing the line to even helping them fund any projects they might have. And also, and this is like something I've been playing around, and I'm decided I'm going to do it in 2024. I want to do a spin-off episode where I talk with a Latina migrant, because I think the Latino community has so much common, like so much in common with a Peruvian migrant journey. So I want to do like a Colombian living, I don't know, in London, right? Venezuelan living in Canada. So like do a spin-off, like special-ish episodes about Latina women who have migrated. How is their path somehow similar to ours, but at the same time is their own path, their own journey. So yeah, I think those are like kind of like the plans for next year.
Fantastic. Exciting year ahead. And just as a last question, who do you think would be the most famous Peruvian migrant, male or female, in the UK?
Oh, wow.
An answer in my mind, but I just want to.
You do have an answer in your mind. I don't have an answer in my mind, because I'm going to promote my Peruvians in the
podcast. I'll give you a clue as to what I'm thinking about. It's a fictional character.
Ah, Paddington.
Exactly.
I was thinking of Peruvian women, so I was like, who is it? Yeah, but
that's
funny.
That's why I said male or female.
Peruvians don't really relate to Paddington. That's the interesting part.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not too surprised. But basically, because the story basically just says he's from, I think they say, darkest Peru. And then I don't think they really cover much of his Peruvian backstory.
Yeah, we need to see his family tree to actually prove that he's Peruvian, and exactly. His ID and everything, for sure.
I just thought of that because that's my go-to gift for friends who have young children.
Yeah, no, he's a cute bear. It's a cute bear. I love it. I love the movie as well.
Exactly. He's a migrant as well. So it's on theme. Anyway, Anna, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the Migration Diaspora podcast. Thank you so much for your time. And just last but not least, how can listeners connect with you and learn more about the podcast?
So the podcast is on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, almost any like podcast platform we're out there. You can find me in Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Granadilla Podcast. If that's too hard to type or write, which is true, it's very Peruvianness. You can also find me as Random Anna G, the platforms, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And yeah, would love to connect. I have a few ideas for special episodes, and I'm always looking for guests, whether in Spanish or English. So I would love that. And thank you so much for having me in your podcast as well. I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you so much. Links to all of that in the show notes. Anna, have a good evening and stay safe and stay in touch.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Migration and Diaspora podcast, powered by Homelands Advisory, your independent migration and diaspora agency. If you've enjoyed the show and would like to support our channel, please feel free to share it or leave a review via your preferred podcasting platform. You can access the channel's full archive and show notes by visiting homelandsadvisory.com/podcast, where you can also get in touch if you'd like to be on the show. Thank you again, and see you next time.